Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what would you do if a blonde, middle-aged stranger kept appearing at the end of your bed night after night, but vanished the instant you blinked?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it. And if you have a real ghost story, that's what we do around here. We talk about your ghost stories. So call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want. No commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. Kathy Gordon, I don't know how I would feel if there was a blonde middle-aged stranger at the end of my bed. I would be like...
That banished...
Oh my God.
It sounds like a pretty good description of my dating life. A middle-aged stranger who just disappeared.
Ghosted me.
That's pretty much... That's the way it is.
Being ghosted again.
Yeah, there I am.
Well, the other night, so I'm sitting here working and I was editing something. I don't remember now. And... But it was definitely a paranormal show that I was editing. And so, you know, right behind me, I have this room set up. It's a spare bedroom. So I have a studio in here, and then I have my spare bed, and then I have a chest of drawers. And I always have too much shit on the chest of drawers. But I've had my Kindle sitting on there for quite a while because I only read books on my phone lately. But the Kindle probably had been sitting on there for 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
It had been sitting there. So I'm just sitting here and the Kindle falls off of the chest of drawers and nothing else, just the Kindle. Now the Kindle was sitting on top of something else. So the Kindle falls off. So how long does it take you to turn around, look 5 feet behind you? A second? So I was like, Izzy... Because I assumed it's my cat, but my cats never climb up on that ever, ever. There's no cat in the room.
Well, just, your cats are smart. They'd be like, I can't get up there. I might knock off the Kindle.
Yeah. Izzy has never jumped up on top of there, and Rizzo could care less. So there's no cat in the room. How does my Kindle just fall off when it's sitting up there and it's been sitting in the same spot for several weeks? I was like, I don't know if that was paranormal or not, but I sat here for a minute and I'm like, I don't know what that was.
Okay, so you felt a little creeped out.
Not too bad, but so what I did was I was like, okay, don't know what that was all about. I just started talking out loud, but we don't do stuff like that in my house.
Right, right. Just let them know right up front.
I'm like, I don't know if that was anything weird or paranormal or just after several weeks, my Kindle decided to just jump off of the top of this dresser. And because it's like, did it take weeks to just slowly go off? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just weird.
You would think if there was some sort of little vibration, mini earthquake, which you guys are known to have, it would have done something to something else because you have other things up there.
Yeah. And I think something would have fallen off.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like it was placed on top because I'm looking behind me. I mean, there's nothing it would have been. Because on that side of the dresser, I don't know what it could have been sitting on that was so unstable that it suddenly fell off one night. It was weird. It was weird.
Yeah.
So I just had to say out loud, you know, you can't. I got to work. I'm sitting here listening to some ghost stories anyway. Like, no. No.
No.
I can't with that. Because that's just kind of scary, and I don't want to live like that.
Yeah, no, you can't.
No.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it was. I just wanted to tell you that little story.
Okay.
I don't know if it was something paranormal.
It's weird because things like that just happen sometimes, and you're just kind of taken back, you know, just kind of a taken back. And you go, okay, I don't see a good possible explanation here, but... Could it have been that one of the cats was up there earlier in the day and moved it just enough that it was kind of precarious. And I just put that in your mind so that you feel better and you can sleep tonight.
Yeah, because my cats never have. I've never seen them.
Just act like they did.
Okay. They did. But I was just like, we're not doing that. We are
don't
not
talk
doing
yourself
that.
Out of it.
Well, let's go to somebody's real ghost story.
Okay.
Because that is just a cat story, apparently. So it says, hi, I'm Diane from Bismarck, North Dakota. Do they say it like that, kind of like that?
I think so.
And I've got a ghost story that has stuck with me for years. It all started back in 2004 when my sister, her husband, and I moved into this old house on a tree-lined street. That sounds like something I would have done with you. I moved in with Kathy and her husband. The house was built in the 1960s, and our plan was to fix it up. My sister and her husband would handle the upstairs, making it their own, while I tackled the downstairs and create a space for myself. We were excited, but the first night we spent there, that's when things got strange. The first night. The house immediately felt like home to me. It was cozy, sweet, and had that nostalgic feel, kind of like the house our grandma used to live in. I was in the guest room upstairs, and we had just finished a long day of moving. We were all exhausted and went straight to bed. I fell asleep quickly, but it wasn't long before I woke up in the middle of the night. I rolled over trying to get comfortable when I froze. There at the foot of my bed was a man, a middle-aged blonde man just standing there looking at me. I blinked and he was gone, just like that. I screamed, which looking back probably wasn't the best reaction, but I was genuinely terrified. From down the hall, I heard my sister ask her husband, did Diane just scream? Her husband, probably still half asleep, ran into my room, flipped on the light, and asked what had happened. I was a little embarrassed, but I tried to play it off. I'm sorry. I thought I saw a guy standing at the end of my bed, but I must be really tired. I must be dreaming or something. He seemed to buy it, gave me a quick checkup to make sure I was okay, and grumbled about having to get up after a long day. I don't blame him. He probably thought I was just being jumpy. But that wasn't the end of it. Oh, no. The next night, it happened again. I woke up in the middle of the night, and there he was again. This time, his face was right in front of mine, nose to nose. I didn't scream that time, but I was definitely startled. How could you not scream?
Jeez.
It was
it
like
just nose to nose?
Yeah.
Like right there?
That's what it says.
Jeez.
This wasn't some random dream. We had a ghost. I told my sister and her husband about it, and to my surprise, they didn't freak out or brush me off. They believed me. My sister and I both had strange experiences all our lives. We'd seen things, felt things, and it wasn't out of the ordinary for us. But what was different now was the frequency of it. This wasn't a shadow or a figure out of the corner of my eye. This was a full-on, unmistakable vision. The guy was haunting the house. After a few nights of this, my sister decided to ask the previous owner about the house about any history that could explain what we were experiencing. He listened to her description and without skipping a beat said, oh, that must be Alan.
Alan?
Alan. My sister froze. Who's Alan? The owner explained he lived there before us. He killed himself while living there, though not in the house. His wife sold us the house after his death. Now we had a name to put with a haunting, Alan. It made the whole thing seem even stranger. I started talking to him. I figured if he was going to keep appearing, I might as well try to get some sleep. So whenever he showed up in the middle of the night, I'd say, go away, Alan. I don't know why that makes me laugh, but... just the vision of this man standing there, then you wake up and you just go away, Alan, I need to sleep. Like, well, it would terrify me every time I would see it.
Well, yes, it most absolutely. I would be absolutely terrified.
I'm just impressed that she's just like, go away, Alan. Then I'd roll over and try to fall back asleep. It wasn't polite, but hey, I was tired. And that wasn't all. After we figured out who he was, Alan started to make his presence known in more ways. He'd knock things off shelves in the bathroom, like he was trying to get our attention. And then there was the old rotary thermostat. We'd find it changed to extreme temperatures, way too hot in the summer and freezing cold in the winter. It was almost like he was messing with us. We eventually replaced the old thermostat with a digital one that didn't allow for any weird adjustments, but Alan wasn't done. He didn't mind the change. He just kept doing his thing. After a year or so of renovations, things started to settle down. I moved into the downstairs part of the house. My sister and her husband made themselves comfortable upstairs. And for a while, Alan's visits seemed to stop, or at least become less frequent. Every now and then, we'd still get the feeling that he was around, and occasionally, when we were upstairs watching TV, we'd see a shadow dart across the hallway or hear a noise coming from an empty room. We all knew Alan was still there. It's strange, though. After all this time, it still feels like he's lingering. We don't see him anymore, but there are those little reminders, like sometimes a house feels colder or you'll hear a noise coming from an empty room. We don't get scared, but we do recognize it. Alan is still hanging around just in the background. I'm not sure why Alan decided to stay or why he kept showing up when I was alone, but there was something oddly comforting about it. He wasn't malicious. He wasn't trying to scare us. He was just there. In his own way, it felt like he was trying to let us know he hadn't moved on. Maybe he wasn't ready, or maybe he was just stuck in a loop of unfinished business. Either way, we learned to coexist with him, and in the end, it became just another part of the house's character. So things are quieter now. The house feels almost peaceful. Every now and then, I still get the sense that Alan is around, watching over us. It's one of those experiences that stays with you, an odd reminder that sometimes the past kind of lingers in unexpected ways. Thanks for listening to my story. I hope you find it as strange and interesting as I did living it. That's from Nikki.
Well, you must feel better about your silly Kindle story now.
Well,
it doesn't even compare to this thing.
Creepy Alan. And
I mean, come
just
on.
The fact that you have a ghost named Alan, it kind of, I don't know why that cracks
me
up. I love
it. I love a ghost named Alan.
I think
I really
that's
do.
Really funny. Okay, so they were remodeling the house, which I think we have established over the years that mm-hmm. definitely stirs up
mm-hmm.
some activity. So I could see mm-hmm. why Alan's like, and it does kind of make sense. It could be Alan. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with Alan, but they did find a way
like it does.
To connect this Alan to the house. So that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But you know, I've always felt like the house I live in that maybe they do try to do something to get my attention every now and then, or maybe it's just something that kind of follows me. Same thing in the last house I lived in.
Yeah.
But it's not as scary. I think you can learn to coexist, and you know, they're like just hanging out doing their thing. It's like, oh shit, we scared Carol. Well, didn't mean to do that. You know what I mean? Could that kind of be where Alan's at now?
You know, it's weird. I don't think Alan is something that goes with him. I think Alan feels site-specific, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. And so I definitely feel like, I think they've got a good lead on who this is. And he doesn't seem able to kind of just do that, complete that loop to transition out, right? To go on. And you know, we've had some people lately that talked about doing that with someone with a spirit and saying, you know, it's time for you to go. You know, you need to move on. You don't have to be weighted down by this world anymore. You know, you're free to go. We will take care of things here. It's, mm-hmm. you know, we'll make sure things are okay. But don't feel like you have to stay here, right? There's other things that you know, good heavens, imagine the things that you could probably go do. So I wonder if just a talk with Alan might help.
You know, if someone did pass in the way that Alan did, you know, I could see why it would be hard to move on. Mm-hmm. That maybe you're feeling guilty, like, you know, did he have a family, loved ones, friends, you know? Did he feel mm-hmm. like he let people down? You know, there's a reason for mm-hmm. that. And so maybe he doesn't feel like he's deserving of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, but maybe talking to him and telling him that it's okay, you know, that it's okay. You can move on. You don't have to be, you know, connected to this anymore. You know, you can let go. Maybe it would help. I don't know.
Sounds
but I think it'd be worth a try.
Sounds like they've kind of made peace with it, too.
Oh, they definitely have.
And I love her whole attitude about it. Oh, Alan, I'm trying to get some sleep.
No, she's awesome. And I think that they've done a good... But I just, you know, it might be worth a try just to let... Just for him to have some peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he may not, you know, he may still decide to stay, but, you know, you might let him know it's okay. You've got this.
Yeah. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, if I woke up in the middle of the night, saw some blonde middle-aged man at the foot of my bed. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Right.
And then she's feeling bad for screaming. I'm like, well, what else were you supposed to do?
I know. I would have screamed him every single time I saw him.
Yeah. God dang. Go, Alan. I'm trying to get some sleep. Well, let's go to this call.
This is Chelsea from North Carolina calling. I wanted to tell you a story about my family and something we experienced at the Lizzie Borden House in Fall River, Massachusetts. For those of you who don't know what Lizzie Borden is, there's this, like, kind of really dark, creepy nursery rhyme that's like, Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. This was based on a true story, and you can actually go to the house where supposedly Lizzie Borden killed her stepmother and father. And my family, we like to make a tradition. It's like every 5 years or so, we go... Like, we're from the Midwest, and we'll go to, like, the East Coast, and we'll go to, like, New York and Connecticut and Massachusetts, and we're just really into history and stuff. And my mom watched, like, something about Lizzie Borden, like, and she saw that you can visit the house, and she was like, we need to do this. And, of course, all of my – I have four brothers and two sisters, and so there's three girls counting me. So there's seven of us. And on this particular trip, my oldest brother didn't go. So it was just my three brothers and then the three girls and my parents. And we went to the Lizzie Borden house. And you take a tour of the house with a guide and they tell you all about it. And it's really like a lot more happened in the house besides Lizzie murdering two people. Like apparently Lizzie's aunt... like killed her two children and then slit her throat on the property in the 20s. It was supposedly like a speakeasy or whatever. And like there's actual bullet holes in the wall in the basement. There's a lot of bad juju in this house. So as we're going through, we're on the tour and I just start to feel absolutely sick to my stomach. Like, I feel so nauseous. I'm going to fall over. I just felt so uncomfortable, and I did not want to be there. So as we're walking through, I'm just like, I'm telling my mom, I'm like, oh, my God, like, I feel like I'm going to pass out. And my mom was like, me felt the exact same thing. Like, she felt so much, like, dread and just, like, she felt so nauseous. And I'm like, we start talking to all of my siblings, and every single one of my siblings – and my father, we're all just so sick on this tour, and we feel so disgusting. I'm like, we felt completely fine all day before going on this tour. And then, you know, like, we're just all, like, feeling disgusting, and, like, everyone else on the tour is completely fine. They're all, you know, just, like, laughing about the history of the house, and just, like... they're perfectly fine. They don't seem like as sick as we are. And so as soon as the tour was done, we got out of the house. It was like a freaking spell. It was like the second we got out of the house, we were all perfectly fine. We didn't feel sick anymore. I don't know what it was. that moment in my life, like, made me believe that my siblings and I have all some kind of sensitivity, and it stems from my mother and my father. We've all had our own little, like, weird ghost stories. Particularly one of my brothers and I used to work at a haunted hotel, which I tried writing in to you guys about that, but it's a pretty long story, and I just don't know the best way to send it in. And if you guys are okay with it being a particularly long story, let me know. I hope to hear this on the show, and have a great day.
We take long stories. We do that all the time.
We love long stories.
Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting because a lot of people will have a physical reaction to being in a location like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us have been in a location, and you don't really think about it at the time, but you're someplace, it's like, oh, I kind of got a headache, not really feeling great. And then later, when you think back on it, it could have been where you were, your physical location. And
absolutely,
that Lizzie Borden house, I have heard from so many people, is really haunted.
Well, and it looks like it's not just a museum, but that, like, it's open daily from 10 to midnight.
Yeah.
And it appears that you can stay there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just, it says it has accommodations. And you could actually stay in the house. And they do ghost tours and house tours. Outdoor walking ghost tours. Yeah, that would be super interesting. I would love to go there.
I would love to go there. I would not like to stay there, though.
No, but I get it. When you get that overwhelming feeling, you and I've had that before.
Mm-hmm.
Where we've been... the one that comes to mind right off the bat is that incident we had we were in Rome, Italy.
Yeah.
And we did not feel good. We were at this kind of shrine where this guy was buried. And you and I both just, like, I could not physically get, you know, close to it. It was just like there was a wall separating me from it. And we were like, we don't even feel good.
Yeah, my heart was just racing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You, me, and Kate, well, we all reacted to it. My friend Lynn was like, what? I don't feel it.
But do you think that with this particular, there's something evil in the house that possesses people to do things?
I don't know.
Because she said it wasn't just Lizzie Borden's horrific act. It was also this aunt.
Mm-hmm.
That killed her two children.
And I had not heard that before.
I hadn't either, and I was trying to look it up to see if it said anything. I don't see that it says it on here, but you can get the merchandise there. They do have a bloody axe you can buy. But I think... do you think that the house itself could be... that there could be something demonic about the house that would possess someone? Or do you think
it could be
there was some sort of mental illness within the family that, you know, caused something?
You know, and it's because I just Googled it because I was like, if I remember right, she wasn't ever held accountable for that. And she was acquitted of the crime.
Okay.
And this is from the Smithsonian Magazine. She was acquitted, but no one was ever charged with the murder. And they were very brutally murdered. I don't know that 41. That children's rhyme is so bizarre. Because I remember when I was a kid saying that. Lizzie Borden took an axe, which is so strange. But so I don't know. It just makes you wonder, like, if she didn't do it, who did it and why did they do it? There's no answers to the murders at all.
Mm. And so if she was acquitted, did she still live in that house?
Let's see. She,
I mean, that
she
would be
behaved
bizarre,
suspiciously wouldn't? In the days leading up to the murders.
Okay.
It seemed unlikely that she could not have overheard the brutal crime as she was home. Her sister was away, so she had an alibi. But in the end, it was impossible to directly link her with the murders. and the jury reached its verdict in just 90 minutes. Mm. When the verdict was announced, Lizzie, this is a quote from a historian, Lizzie let out a yell, sank into her chair, rested her hands on a courtroom rail, put her face in her hands, and then let out a cry of joy.
Okay.
She did buy a ritzy new house in a wealthy area, and in 1905 changed her name from Lizzie to Lizbeth.
Okay.
People refused to sit near her at church. But, you know, there was no forensic science back then, and so she could have done it, but they couldn't prove that she did it. It officially remains unsolved.
Okay, well, I truly need to go there and visit this place.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Mm-hmm.
We need to just one of these days, we keep talking about it, and just do that big paranormal road trip. We just find a part of the country that would be interesting, and we just go spend a week going place to place to place.
I know. I think we go to Gettysburg.
Gettysburg would be so cool.
Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking the question here is, what do you think? Why was the family physically unwell, but other people on the tour seem fine?
Well, I think that some people are just not, like that time we all walked into that place, Lynn didn't pick up on anything. You, me, and Kate did.
Yeah.
I just don't think everyone's able to pick up on it. And it kind of makes sense that a whole family, because, you know, some of that stuff, I swear, it's passed down generationally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't
know. I'm with you. I think absolutely it's possible that, you know, her family felt something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been in a situation where I thought, man, I don't feel good. Like, I absolutely have to get out of here.
And then you get out of there and you feel fine.
I feel fine. And then other people were like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I was fine.
Yeah.
You know.
Just so, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me really want to go there.
Me too.
Well, if you have a ghost story and you want to share it with us, we would absolutely love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802. If you'd rather write it down, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to be a premium subscriber, do that. You get the advanced episodes, access to the archive without commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.